Eamon Donnelly is a musician and English language teacher who has been living in southeast Austria since 1990. Originally from Armagh, he left Austria on the 17th of June this year to embark on a journey that has so far taken him 70 days. Now, during those 70 or so days, Eamon has walked across many parts of Europe. By the end of this journey, in fact, in the coming days, Eamon will have walked 2,500 kilometres. He is at the moment, I think, in and around Bray, County Wicklow, or heading for that location at some point this evening, after which then he's going to head for Dublin and then the northeast of Ireland. And for most of the walk, and at the minute, Eamon has been accompanied by his very good friend and fellow musician, Sepp Tiber Kessler. And I do sincerely hope I have that name absolutely correct. Eamon, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Sepp Tiber Kessler, is that correct?
Not quite. Sepp Tiber Kessler.
Tiber, well, you see, it was the T-I-E, yeah. The T-I-E that threw me, that's what it is. Tiber, Sepp Tiber Kessler. Eamon, I deliberately haven't mentioned why exactly you're doing this. Could you tell the listener why?
Well, it's an aid of dementia research. I mean, it's really in memory of my mother, who sadly passed away a few years ago, and she had suffered from dementia for 2 years. It was a very aggressive form of dementia, and we first started noticing when she was 69, and 2 years later, you know, she had passed away. So yeah, at the time I remember thinking, God, we just need to.
That's quite unfortunate, and that's the way it goes, and we've lost the signal.
Mum was ill.
We just had a slight dropout on the signal there, which I think is going to be the theme of our conversation, given the way you're travelling.
But okay.
Could we just ask you to describe your mother to us, and I suppose how the condition did change? I know you were saying there just before we lost the signal that she was 69 and that you had started to see changes, but could you describe your mother, the person, to us?
Yeah, I mean, she was the kind of person who really never saw problems. She only ever saw solutions, and she just got on with things, you know. She really helped out in the community. You know, obviously she had raised 7 children, and after the 7th child had left home to go to university, she decided to go back and start her studies as well. And she ended up, you know, doing her schooling, you know, her GCSEs and her A-levels. She went to Queen's University, did a bachelor's degree, and went on to do a master's degree, and she was even talking about doing a PhD, so she was really, really kicking off, you know, starting her own life, as it were, outside the family, whenever this all set in, and that was really when we started noticing the changes, you know.
Now, dementia is, as I'm sure you're well aware, many people are aware, it's a huge talking point in recent times. Indeed, most of the people you have met along the way during your travels have someone in their family with dementia. Has this surprised you?
Yeah, you know, obviously, it's not something maybe people bring up in conversation normally, but in our case, people are asking us what we're doing, and it came up in conversation. And it was then that you realised that really everyone, yeah, almost everyone we've spoken to has either someone in the family who has it, or someone they know very well, or even we've met people on the road with what I thought was, one person, with a very, very similar symptoms to my mother, who was being taken out for a walk. You know what I mean? So I suppose it did surprise me that it is so widespread, because it isn't something people generally, I think, like to talk about, or it's not something, as I said, that comes up in conversation, you know?
We feel a bit uneasy because it sort of opens up our vulnerabilities, really. We don't like to think about those.
Yeah, that's right, you know. Yeah, I mean, I suppose families want to keep it, I don't see that that should be, you know, that maybe they want to keep it to themselves or within the family. I don't know, you know, but when you do bring it up, it really is. Even today, I mean, you won't believe this, even today I spoke to a lady in the hotel we stayed in, and she said both her parents had it, you know, had it and passed away, you know what I mean? So it's very widespread, I think, yeah.
Could I ask you, Eamon, and perhaps I should have asked you this at the outset, what brought you to Austria all the way from Armagh back in 1990?
Well, it was train, I suppose. I don't mean that stupidly. I was on Interrail at the time, and I was just travelling around, and I was a young fella at the time, and I met this young girl at the time in Graz. I suppose it was love at first sight, and I ended up going back England, where I was living at the time, and quitting my job and moving back to Austria. And that was, 1990.
Okay.
So I've been there ever since.
Now, I understand you've had feelings of being overwhelmed a little bit by the physical demands of your walk. Perhaps you didn't expect it to be as demanding as it's turned out to be. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think if I had thought about it, too much, I probably wouldn't have done it, because I'm the type of person who, just starts things knowing that I have to finish it, knowing that I will finish it, but not imagining it in advance, do you know what I mean? So I just started walking, basically. I just left the house in Hietzendorf, near Graz, where I live, and just kept on walking, basically, But yeah, it has been tough, very tough, both physically and mentally. I mean, it's a long time to be out on the road and doing 20 to 25 miles, and even more some days, and then going to bed and getting up and doing the same the next day. It's tough on the old head.
Eamon, your signal is starting to drift in and out just a little bit, so perhaps no, not at all, it's not your fault. You'd imagine it'd be a situation we'd have a grip on these days, but in the 21st century, you've seen parts of the world, certainly on foot, that perhaps none of us will ever get the chance to see, or maybe in the next number of years. You had a trip across the Alps, you've walked that. What was that like?
It was brilliant. It's probably one of the most beautiful parts of the walk, but at the same time, it was right at the start of the walk where, really, I wasn't physically prepared for it, and very nearly finished me off. I had aches and pains, and just going up the mountains with a big heavy rucksack on your back, and the heat as well. It was very, very hot at the time, so you're sweating buckets, and you're trying to also, every time you get to anywhere with a wee bit of salt, you'd be pouring the salt into your hand and licking it out off just to replace some of the salt that you'd lost, It was very, very tough, but at the same time, extremely, extremely beautiful,
You've been very fortunate on your journeys, both you and Seb, because you've had total strangers just putting you up and being very hospitable, but you've also had the other side of it where you've had to spend quite some time sleeping rough. What sort of experience was that? Because I gather that it's not something you'd be used to.
No, definitely not. No, I suppose, again, it's just, it's tough at the time. It's as I said, you'd arrive somewhere, you haven't a clue where you're going to sleep. You talk to the locals in the hope that maybe they would be able to find somewhere for you, because there's no bed and breakfast or whatever in a lot of these little villages. And a lot of the time you just end up sleeping outside, in some pretty rough places sometimes. You might be caught in a thunderstorm, and there's no real protection, there's no real shelter as such. So there were times, there were times where you'd think, what am I doing? Go back home, there's a lovely bed waiting for you there. Put your feet up, watch a bit of the television. Yeah, but, here in Ireland, it's very, very different. We're being spoiled rotten, to be honest with you. Well, it's a complete contrast.
We're good at that here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Spoiling you, Rob. Now, just a little bit further away, Germany didn't pose much of a challenge to you, but I understand your journey through France was particularly difficult. Why was that?
Well, it was the longest part of the journey. To be honest, I hadn't even realised until recently when I looked back and said, bloody hell, we were in France a month, But yeah, just the language. I did French at school, but it's obviously a very long time ago. Yeah, it was just difficult to communicate with people. I had expected that maybe you would meet a few people, especially the younger ones, that might be able to speak a bit of English, and you might even be able to use them to translate for you occasionally or whatever. But literally, I think we met five people in that whole month. I could speak a bit of English. So it was a very isolating sort of experience, and difficult to communicate. I had sort of learnt off a few lines, off Google Translate, just to explain the basics of our, or the background to our situation, what we were doing and the project, just enough to make people understand, and perhaps, as I said, find us somewhere to sleep. And a lot of the time, enough times just to make fond memories, people did take us in and find something for us, and even wined and dined us sometimes, and these memories really, really stick.
Now, as you pointed out at the start, Eamon, you're doing this to raise awareness of the whole thing.